But before we get into that, I want to say a couple of things. I don't know. It seems a little strange to me. I don't know what it is. A little echoey like. I don't know if y'all can tell it or not, Beth. Notice what I said, spiritual warfare. It's called spiritual warfare because... What in the world? Let me get my glasses on so I can read this, what I got wrote down here. Yeah, because you're dealing with spirits and not flesh. How many knows everything's not a devil? I have come across people that everything is a devil. Their attitude, their mama, their tire, the flat tire, everything is a devil. But everything is not a devil. A lot of times it's nothing more than your flesh. Just like if, say, you're being ugly to people, you know, maybe you should check up on your love walk. 1 Corinthians 13, right, says love's not touchy, it's not fretful, it's not resentful. All those things, don't seek, it's not self-seeking and all that. Because sometimes that can just be you. You're just in the flesh. There's not necessarily a demon or a spirit attached to that or whatever. But let's look at Colossians 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 8. It says, I said that's not right, is it? Yeah, it is. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, talking about in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete, talking about us, in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Notice that. He is the head. He is the ruler over all principality and power, right? It says, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins, and the circumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, verse 15 in the Amplified, it says, God disarmed the principalities. Remember, we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. It says, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were arranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 10. How many knows if you're born again, the devil has no power over you? Absolutely none. According to that scripture that we just read and some more we're going to look at. See, Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to, how I got that? Amplified. I'm going to read verse 17 through 19 here. He says, the 70... Now, this is where Jesus had given power to the disciples, and they had went and cast out devils and healed the sick and all this, and now they come back. Verse 17 says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling like a lightning flash from heaven. He said, behold, I have given you authority. How many knows he's given us the same thing? Because we are his disciples today. He says, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Look at 2 Corinthians 2. James. Verse 14. He says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, not in ourselves, not in our own ability, but in Him. Triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. Now, I read all of that for us to see just a little bit of what's been given to us, because how many knows there's people out there that's been born again, but they don't know the things that I just read. They don't know. I did not know for a long time that my mind was mine, and I was the one that was supposed to control it. So therefore, I had a lot of problems with my mind. And how many knows if you have a lot of problems with your mind, you're going to have a lot of problems with your emotions. Why? Because the man goes wherever the mind goes first, right? So I learned that my mind was mine. So then that meant I've got responsibility for my mind. I have to control it. I cannot stop thoughts that comes to my mind, or you can't stop thoughts that comes to your mind. But how many knows I've heard it said this way, every mind needs a bouncer at the door. What's that mean? Y'all been to the bars, right? Bouncers at the door, they ID you. They'll bounce you right out of there if you don't do what you're supposed to do. How many knows that's what we're supposed to do with our mind, right? The Word of God helps us to discern, it says over there in Hebrews chapter 4, thoughts and intents of the heart. So the devil may be able to inject thoughts to your mind, but it's mine and your job to determine where's these thoughts originating from. Is this my thought? Is this a thought from the enemy? How many knows God can give you thoughts too? A lot of times they come up out of your spirit and then they get to your mind. But it's our job to determine. And if you don't control your mind, you better believe the devil will. Why? He is an outlaw. He does everything that he's not supposed to do, right? If he's allowed. So let's look here at, let me read this here. I'm going to give you some things today to help you determine whether you're under a spiritual attack or not. Things to determine whether you're under spiritual attack from the enemy or just things because we live in a fallen world that he's the God of, right? Because the Bible says Satan is the God of this world. He is the, according to Scripture, he is the prince of the power of the air, right? All right, thoughts. Listen, and this is something you're going to have to determine. I can't determine this for you. People, especially like people that don't control their mind and they have a lot of depression and different things, like sometimes it'll be harder for them to tell. But thoughts of fear, ungodliness in some form. One that comes to me a lot that I can tell that it's like real obvious. I'll have this thought. I'll catch myself. I'll have this thought. Life just sucks. Y'all ever have that thought? How many knows that's not God? That's not you. Why? You got God and life's good. You got hope, right? You're no longer in this world without hope, but now we have Him and we have hope. So these are not the kinds of thoughts that we should be experiencing come to us. And especially if you're a person, you know, that most of the time you're pretty chipper, you know, you keep your mind stayed on the Lord, it'll be easier for you to detect when the spiritual warfare comes, when the enemy begins to start attacking you. Why? Because these are completely out of character and out of ordinary for you. Other things. Feelings. See, the devil can inject thoughts, but he can also put pressure on your flesh of how you feel. Feelings of anxiety. Feeling overwhelmed. Now, I'm not talking about because you got something going on out here. How many knows you can have nothing going on out here and be totally in fear and anxiety and just overwhelmed on the inside, right? So feelings of anxiety, feelings of fear, feelings of depression, feelings of oppression, feeling hopeless, despair. These are all thoughts and feelings from the enemy. Physical sickness or disease. That's unusual. Now, we have sickness and disease because we have sin in the world, right? There was no sickness and disease and all that before Adam and Eve sinned and Satan was given authority, right? Y'all awake, right? All right, track with me on this. We're going somewhere. All right, so we have just what is natural sickness and disease because sin entered into the world. Then you have those, what we read last week. Y'all remember the story? We read it. I'm not going to go back and read it this morning. Of the woman, the Bible says, had been bent over for 18 years. Y'all remember that? And what did it say? It said a spirit of infirmity. It means that's a demon that had done this. So demons can also gain access to our physical bodies if we're Christians, if it's allowed. You understand? We don't have to allow this stuff. But he can. And this is just some things that you can determine whether or not you're actually being spiritually attacked. because everything is not a demon. But there's times that he comes to spiritually attack you. All you got, listen, look at this church. Just look at it. Okay, y'all know what we're doing, right? We're not just calling them in anymore. I am rebuking the spirit of witchcraft, sorcery, rebellion, all these things that would hold these people back from what? Getting here. Because they're supposed to be here. And see, you don't do what we're doing without the devil coming after you. And I'm not saying every reason that people are not here is the devil this morning. But he does influence people. Spiritually, he influences them. Physically or whatever. So there's times that you can be physically attacked and it not be just a natural sickness or disease. Or times that you can be being attacked with these thoughts and these feelings. But it's our job to determine who is this and why is this. Because if it's the devil, I have authority over the devil. All authority over him. You know, in every area. So you have to determine that. Some people don't know they can even be attacked. And the Bible says to what? Fight the good fight of what? Of faith. In these things, we must always stay in faith. So let's look here. Excuse me, in Ephesians 6. I told Beth save these because I feel like we might be on this for a little while. I know for sure that there's people that's supposed to be here this morning that a lot of times that for years they've been here and then they're out. Then they're here again. You know what happens to them? They start pressing into God. They start coming regularly, listening to preachers on TV, you know, watering themselves, reading their Bible, and they start progressing and doing a little bit better. And then before you know it, what happens? Bam! You'll hear them. They'll come in and testify how the devil's been this to them and how the devil's been that to them. No, honey. You gave in to the devil. All he done was gave you a thought or you didn't feel good or whatever that it was to get you to what? Back off. That's all. Just back off. He couldn't stop you from being born again, but now his job is to render us ineffective. That's all he can do, and the thing that he uses the most is the power of suggestion. Not today. Do you know if you don't go today, next week it's going to be easier to not go again? Absolutely. That's just the way that it is with everything. So here in Ephesians chapter 6, I've got this in the Amplified. Start with, we're going to read 10 through 12 in the Amplified version. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Notice what it says, be empowered through your union with him. So you've been born again, you need to have a strong relationship with him. Right? The Bible says now you've become his sheep. You need to be telling him, thank you, Lord. I am your sheep. I hear your voice loud and clear. Right? And the voice of another or a stranger, I do not follow. He says, be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. Why? This is a spiritual battle and it cannot be won by natural means. Kind of like I told Travis and people before, you can't beat a demon off of your kids. And listen to me, people, your kids gets attacked just like you get attacked. And sometimes the way that you can notice this is when they just seem like blatantly start acting out of character. Did y'all hear what I said? That it's unusual for them to act a certain way or unusual for them to say certain things or do certain things or whatever. What's that mean? Now you're going to have to take authority over the devil that's influencing your kids because like Aubrey and Aiden, they don't have a clue. They don't know anything about spiritual warfare. But their parents should, and when necessary, whoop the far out of them if you need to. Why? Because flesh casts out flesh. That belt, the Bible says, will get it right on out of there. But the belt don't get a demon out. The belt don't get demonic influence out of people or off of your kids, right? So we have to use the spirit to deal with the spiritual matters. He says, draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. So when you look that word wiles up, that's what it means. Strategies, deceits, lies, deceptions, all those things. It says, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, people, contending only with physical opponents. Sometimes the devil may come at you through people. How many knows even Christians can yield to the devil? So there's times he can attack you through people, and usually you can tell that. These people, they just don't get off of your case, seem like. He goes on and he says, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness. It's not talking about absence of light like out here. He goes on and he says, against the spirit forces of wickedness and heavenly supernatural fear. Now go over to, we're going to come back here so you can hold your place if you want to. Go over to James chapter 4. When you're doing what we're doing, praying for one another, praying for the services every time before we come and different things, doing our best to serve the Lord and praying for people and rebuking the devil off of them and different things like that, you need to know how to do spiritual warfare because we are advancing in the kingdom, right? And anytime we are advancing in the kingdom of God, you better believe there's always going to be a devil show up. But the thing about it is, if we don't let him, he has no power and authority over us. Absolutely none. So here in James chapter 4, I'm going to start reading for time's sake in verse 6. And this is the Amplified version, I think, yeah. It says, but he gives us more grace. Now it's talking about the things before that, like verse 5. It's talking about the Spirit. But here in verse 6, he says, but he gives us more and more grace. Notice what it says this grace is, power of the Holy Spirit. To meet this evil tendency and all others fully, that is why he says, God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. So be subject, the Amplified Bible says, King James says, submit yourselves to God. So this says, be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. How far to go? Yeah, verse 7. All right, notice what that says. So one of the things that we need to do when you're going to be engaged in spiritual warfare, all times we should be, but especially one of the things that we have to do is, number one, humble yourself. Why? Because you're going to need the grace, right? And it is the humble that gets the grace. The ones that are proud think they can do it on their own. You know, they don't need God that much to combat the enemy or anything. You're already in trouble. So number one, we need to humble ourselves because the Bible says without him, which now we're not without him, but he says without him we can do nothing, right? We have nothing, we see nothing, we know nothing. Everything we have, everything we are is from and because of him, right? So then we humble ourselves and he says we humble ourselves, submit ourselves to God, so that's humbling ourselves, resist the devil and what? Now you got to go. So if we're not resisting him, if you're not resisting sickness and disease, right? Well, I think I'm taking the code. Well, honey, you might as well go and take it, get you some Kleenex, and suck it up. Or you can do what the Bible says. What? Resist the devil. Why? All sickness and disease originated with him when sin came into the earth. But then there are times that it is a demonic spirit that tries to put things on us. But we need to humble ourselves before the Lord because we need grace. Right? Let's see what my next one is here. Another one, the next one is, if you've got things in your life that you know the Lord is not pleased with, or listen, the Bible says when you stand praying, do what? Forgive. Good, Sandy. You remembered. It says forgive, right? All that Mark 11 up there, all these things that you go through, you know, that you when you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. And don't leave that out because he's still talking about praying, right? Praying. And he says, when you stand praying, what? Forgive. Why? Because if you don't forgive, you're yielding to the devil. You're not submitting to God. You're not resisting the devil. You're yielding to him. So guess what? He's not going to go. Is the word true or not? If it says if you submit to God and resist the devil, he'll flee. But if you don't submit to God and you don't resist the devil, he's not going anywhere. So it's hard to hold unforgiveness in our hearts and pray in faith. So if we need to repent, do that. Let's go back to Ephesians 6. And you know, I may not be saying anything this morning that you haven't already heard or that you don't already know, but there's several places where the Apostle Paul and Peter in their writings would say, I don't write this because you don't know it. I'm writing this to bring this to your remembrance. You did know it, but how do you know? Sometimes we need to be a little stirred up about things, especially if we hadn't studied them or been on them for a while. So we're going to pick this up here in verse 13. He says, therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be... How'd I have that? No, I got that in King James, I'm sorry. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. In other words, you ain't running, right? You're not trying to get out of the situation. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is what? The Spirit of truth. The Bible says the Word of God is what? The Word of truth. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. All these things He's already given to us, right? Notice He says that's the first piece of armor you got to put on. Why? Everything else goes on after that. He says, because why? What are you trying to stand up against? The deceptions, the lies, the traps of the enemy. What combats that? Truth. So He says, having your loins girt about with truth, and then He goes on and He says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You need to know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and only His blood and what He done made you that way. If not, if you mess up, you do something wrong, you get angry and sin, or whatever the case might be, that's the first thing the devil's going to attack is your righteousness. And how many knows, if you don't have on this armor, he's going to whoop you. So you need to know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ and how you got that way. And have that on, wear it. And it says, and if you do wrong, repent of it. It says God's faithful and just to forgive us, right, of our sins if we repent. He says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You need shoes on because you're going somewhere. And notice what he says, the gospel of peace. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now that's not something you put on, you carry it. Right? A shield, you're not wearing it, you carry it. He says, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Most of the time, these are the thoughts that is coming at your mind. The Bible, there's a reason they call them fiery darts too. You remember this scripture where it says, think it not strange of these fiery trials that's come upon you to try you? Yeah, that's what he's talking here. And he says it's going to be the shield of faith that's going to quench those darts. He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the Amplified in verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields. How many knows it's the Word that the Spirit speaks, that we speak? We don't just go in there and pick out a verse, you know, and claim this one. This here's the one that's going to defeat the devil. Even though we stand on the Word, but how many knows? There's keys that He gives us, things that He tells us. Excuse me. He says, which is the Word of God. Now notice, He's not through. Praying. Well, so we need to submit to God, resist the devil, right? Humble ourselves. Next thing, you need to pray. Prayer is an awesome weapon against the enemy. Notice how He says, let's make sure how I got that. Yeah, it's in King James. He says, praying when? Always. At other places, He says, pray without ceasing. Now, certainly you can't stay in the closet all day long. You know, you got stuff to do or whatever. What that means is be in a constant state of looking to Him, talking to Him, fellowshipping with Him all day long. Whether you're on your job or whatever the case might be, even though you have regular times every day that you may spend a certain amount of time with Him just alone. But He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, not in the flesh. You may be in the flesh when you start out because you don't necessarily know, but say you're going to pray for so-and-so or a situation or whatever. But how many knows there should come a point to where you get switched over to where now you're being led of the Spirit and praying by inspiration of the Holy Ghost and not what you got in your head, right? He goes on and he says, listen, and there's all different kinds of prayer, and I don't have time to get into that. Supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. What's that mean? Don't stop. Now, I told you last week, told you many times, we about wore Sandy down. Bless her little heart. But what happened? She would not stop. Y'all remember over there in Luke 18 where it talks about the woman going before the unjust judge? And he says, okay, I'm going to give her what she, I'm paraphrasing. I'm going to give her what she's asking for, lest she her by her continual coming she weary me. That's persistence. Now, it's not because God don't want to answer us, right? Y'all remember Daniel, right? Whenever he prayed, The Bible says that he prayed for 21 days and the angel of the Lord came to him. I believe it was Gabriel too. Came to him and told him, says, Daniel, you was heard at your first words. The first word, in other words, come out of your mouth of your prayer, Daniel. God heard you and God answered. And I've been sent here to bring you the answer. But he says, the prince of Persia, which is a demonic spirit, did what? He hindered me. I couldn't get it to you. So what did he do? Gabriel called Michael. Reinforcements, right? To get the answer there. So sometimes you can't stop praying. It's not that God's not answering, and it's not that the answer's not coming, but there may be demonic spirits that's there to hinder you from getting your word. Why? Because he knows that word's going to change things. He knows the answer to your prayer is going to change things. So, see, we have the heavens. I mean, we go outside, we look up there, we see what? The clouds. It's called the heavens. Then you got the next heavens after that. That's where demonic spirits live, or their headquarters is. And then you've got God's heaven, which is the third heaven, right? You can't go no further than that. But then he's also the principality of the power of the air. The Bible says he roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour you if you don't let him. But that means you're going to have to be on your P's and Q's. Why? Because he's always trying. And he'll leave, you may run him off, but the Bible, just like he said with Jesus, will come back for a more opportune time. Because the thing about the devil is, he is an opportunist. I've noticed some weaknesses for me. If I get rushed, I don't do well. So what's that mean? That means I need to make sure I got plenty of time to get to church, right? Or I'll be griping out, flipping off everybody on the way to church. Hello? I don't do well when I get under pressure about time. Now, Stacy's one, I'm telling you, bless her heart. Stacy's under pressure about time or anything. I'm telling you, she'll be slinging that food back there, and look, her countenance will look the same way. You never know, she's about at her max. It's just the way she is. Now, my face is just different. I mean, I start getting hot. I mean, my face got to where it stays red a lot of times anyway. But if I get the least bit a little bit hot, I start looking kind of like a beet. I'm so red, I'm looking purple, so you know I'm getting maxed out here. So if I know that's a weakness for me, what do I need to do? Make sure that to the best of my ability, that doesn't happen. Some people, they have a weakness when they get very tired, physically tired, or mentally tired. A lot of times, Scotty, he'll come in from work, and I'm telling you, the man just goes and goes. Anyway, a lot of times he'll come in from work, and he'll lay down there on the couch and take, 20, 30, 40-minute nap, put his clothes back on, and out the door he goes like for the next round. I can't do that. I mean, I'd be laying there usually 2 hours later, and I get up, my eyes are all bloodshot, and I ain't been to sleep a bit. That's his thing, though, so I have to handle that a little bit differently. But mine is usually whenever I get under pressure that I have to hurry. Yours may be when you get physically tired. Know your weaknesses. You better believe the devil knows them. And don't think you ain't got none, because we all got some somewhere. Some people call it triggers. But anyway, if your weakness is getting tired, do your very best not to let yourself get so tired. And don't try to deal with heavy situations when you are tired. A lot of times they'll wait till the next day or in a couple hours or whatever that you can kind of get some rest. So know what your triggers are and don't let the devil use those against you. Let's see, where do we get to? Y'all remember? We're on 18, ain't we? Let me finish that. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching. Remember, we got to watch and pray, not just pray. He says, watching thereunto with all perseverance means you don't quit. There's no quit in you. You don't lose heart. You don't faint. You don't give up. Things may look like they're not changing, but they really are. You might not see it. How many knows a lot of things got to get changed in the spirit before you ever see them change in the natural? God called Abraham, Abraham. How many years before he became Abraham? Right? The Bible says, calling those things that be not as though they were. Or in other words, as though they already are. Right? So we have to persevere. He said, in prayer and supplication, he says, for all saints. He says, and for me, he's a minister, right? He says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Let's see here. All right, Isaiah 55. We're just going to read one verse here. It's verse 11. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. This is what God says about his word. He says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Now I've got wrote down up here, when you're in prayer, pray as close as you can to God's word. Why? That's what works. I mean, I've been here a long time, seen a lot of stuff. The more carnal, the more flesh involvement people talk about when they talk about spiritual warfare is, it's not really spiritual warfare. It's going to be the less than. When you have people that they think you put on combat boots and you put on camouflage and say you march around this church, you know, screaming and hollering at the devil, that's spiritual war. No, it's not. You're in the flesh. You're carnal. Now, if God told you to do all that, that's a different thing. Whatever he says, do, do that, because that's what's going to work. But I'm talking about this as their general thing. Why? The devil don't care, give a rip about what kind of camouflage you got. He don't care if you're naked. You understand what I'm telling you? Because why? It's not what you're wearing on the outside. It's what you better be wearing on the inside that makes him terrified, that makes him obey, right? So those things are not fleshly. They're spirit. So it's not necessary. The more carnal things that people talk about out here that do this and do that or whatever, you can usually tell by how much flesh somebody's flesh is involved in it, of how spiritual that it is or not. Now, so whenever you're in prayer like this, we always need to be praying as close as we can to God's word. Sometimes you can pray the exact words. I know that it's God, but I have been noticing in the Bible, and I can't tell you how many times that I've read the Bible through. I mean, we do it every year, you know, especially the New Testament, every year. But I had never noticed how much prayers there are in the Bible. So these started sticking out to me, so I've been writing them down, you know, and I tell you, I got like 5 or 6 pages, and I mean, it takes me about an hour to get through all of this, that I pray for y'all, that I pray for certain churches and people and different things. And it's the same thing that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians or the Philippians or whoever that it is. So and I felt inspired to do that, so I'm praying God's word. And if it's God's word, how can it not be right? You understand what I'm telling you? But then there's other times you may not be able to pray exactly word for word what the Scripture says, but everything that we pray somehow or another has to be based on God's word. Why? It has to have a foundation. You know, there's some things, you know, you see it on Facebook, and I know people, they mean well in what they're saying and things like that, you know, but God, put your loving arms around them. Number one, God is a spirit, okay? Spirit to flesh, don't mix. He can spirit to spirit me, but not spirit to flesh. And God's in heaven, right? His arms are not down here. The Holy Spirit is... I'm just trying to get you to see this stuff, the difference. Because, see, it sounds real spiritual. It sounds real humble, but it doesn't work. But if you'll pray other things, like in line with the Word, sometimes I'll pray, God, strengthen so-and-so in their spirit. God, because you are the one that said, God, in Proverbs, that it is the strong spirit of a man that will sustain him in his times of infirmities and adversities and weaknesses and things like that. Do you see what I'm talking about? Not God, put your loving arms around them and whatever the rest of that is that it says. Can you tell the difference of what I'm talking about? That's how we need to pray, the best that we can in line with Word, because we have to have a foundation for our prayers. Our faith that we're supposed to be releasing while we're praying has to have a foundation, right? And the Word of God is the foundation. Faith comes how? By hearing. By hearing what? The anointed or Christos Word of God. You understand what I'm telling you? And like I said, I'm probably not saying nothing you don't already know, but how many of us, we got people all over the world that's listening to us too. And I mean, I could use some stirring up on this myself. So in other words, he says there, his word don't return unto him void. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10. I think it's first, wasn't it? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 10. Now, I think we may have read this verse last week, but that's okay. Yeah, we did. Verse 13. And I'm going to read this in Amplified version. He says, for no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. What that means is the devil can't pull out some new thing over the spirit realm to whoop you with. Everything that he uses is the same thing that he's been using all the time on people since the beginning. It says, that is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance. So we have to believe this word, right? If it's coming to me, if I lean on the Lord and I look to him and, you know, I acknowledge him in all of my ways, he'll direct my path and all this. There is a way to get out of this, or there is a way to overcome this, or there is a way to be sustained through this, right? So in other words, there is always a place where the devil does not get advantage over you. But now it's up to us to get in that place. He goes on and says, trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. Now notice, it's not God that's putting this stuff on you. That's a lie of the devil. Why? You won't fight him. If I believe that God is putting sickness on me, I would be a hypocrite and an unbelief to go to the doctor, wouldn't I? Don't fight it, just take it if it's God. But it's not. It says, but God is faithful, thank you, Lord, to his word and to his compassionate nature. And he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance. Prayer comes in here when you need strength, right? He's the one that can strengthen you when you need strength. He goes on and it says, and power to endure. But with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. Now, look at Hebrews 4. I know I'm skipping around a lot, but we don't have time to read whole chapters of this stuff. Verse 16. How do I get that? King James. Verse 16 says, the reason why I'm reading this is because of the scripture we just read. He says, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. Oh, I got that in King James. I'm sorry. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. I need mercy when I'm being tempted. I need mercy when I don't know what to do, right? He says, and find grace. With enough grace, there's nothing you can't do that God's told you to do. Why? It is his ability in you, on you, and working through you to accomplish his will and purpose. It says, and find grace to what? To help me in time of need, right? When I'm in temptation or when I'm in prayer and I don't know what to pray and I don't know what to do, or I'm being under spiritual attack, the devil's coming after you. The Holy Ghost knows all things. Nothing caught God unaware. God knew the temptation today was coming 50 years ago before you was ever even born, right? So he knows how to help us, but if you're not humble enough to receive the grace, right? That's what we read over there in James. You got to humble yourself to receive grace. What's that mean? I don't know everything, God. I don't know everything. Show me. Tell me. Reveal to me. I don't care. Say it to me through somebody. If for some reason I'm just not getting it, tell me through somebody. Amen? Let's look at Philippians 4. These is probably very familiar scriptures to most people. I'm going to read this in the King James, and I'm going to start in verse 4. Now, we're talking about spiritual warfare, and I'm giving you keys to help you combat the enemy for you to win, to get the victory, right? Because, see, we're not fighting from a place to obtain victory. We're fighting from victory, already been won, given to us, but now you got a devil standing there attacking you to stop you. So we need to know the things that we need to be doing, right? There's things in the natural that we can do, just like reading your Bible. You got Christians, they don't ever read their Bible. That's sad. That's actually not humility. What would that be? Why do I need to read the Bible? I know half of it already. But what about the other half you don't know? I'm going to start here in verse 4. How do I got that? That's King James. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I have to tell myself this when I get out of the bed in the morning. Because I'm serious. Because most of the time, my head is messed up, or my neck is hurting, or my back is hurting, or something is just not. I don't get out of the bed most days and everything's just peachy. I don't know about y'all. Maybe y'all do. But as soon as I get out of the bed, the devil likes to start on me. And a lot of times I can tell when it's him, because it's like my mind starts trying to go on this thing and that thing and that thing and that thing. And you better get control off of your mind. Get control of your mind first thing in the morning. Because whatever starts controlling you first is usually going to try to control you all day long. And you don't want that happening. So when you get up, rejoice in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't care what it looks like, sounds like, kids are doing, husband's doing, nobody. Thank you, Lord. This is the day that you have made, God. And because you're good, I will rejoice. And I purposefully will be glad today, regardless of my outward circumstances. He goes on and he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. When I read this, that makes me think of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Y'all remember what that says? Casting all your care over on the Lord. Why? Because He cares for you. So what do? In prayer, you got problems, devil coming at you, problems, kids, whatever the problems case might be. When you pray, give it to God. Ain't that what He says? Cast all your cares, no matter who or what it is. Cast all your cares over on the Lord. Why? He cares for you. Don't take it back again. Use that scripture. The Bible says that He's faithful to keep that which I have committed unto Him. If I committed my kids to Him, I don't even go worry about them. I don't care if it looks like they're going to hell in a handbasket. God's word is true, right? Me and my house shall be saved. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You started putting a pressure on the enemy and even your flesh and people through the promises of God by faith. Amen? So He says there, be careful for nothing. So in other words, I used to say, I tell Scotty or Travis, y'all be careful. And I thought, one day it just hit me, I thought, that doesn't sound good. The Bible says, don't be careful. So I tell him now, be watchful. Yeah, I don't want you carrying any kind of care. Don't be careful. Don't be full of care, but be watchful. The Bible says be watchful. He says, be careful for nothing. I know sometimes that's hard. But how He knows, it may be hard, but we can do it. Because He said to. He says, but in everything, by what? Prayer and supplication with what? Oh, glory. Thanksgiving. Why? Because faith sees it already done. The thing that I'm praying about, the thing that seems so hard to me, the thing that seems so bad to me, that looks like for years it's never going to change. You are subject to change and you're changing. Right? By faith, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I don't care if you are lower than a snake's belly and a ragged wagon rut, so to speak, or whatever. You can't get no further. Y'all know what I'm saying? Thank you, God. My faith always rejoices. The Apostle Paul in prison most of the time wrote 1/3 about of the New Testament. And he's the one that wrote this. Rejoice! Why? He's always in faith. He goes on, he says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, because it's already done. Let your requests be made known unto God. Be specific. When I pray for y'all, I could just pray. If I was just trying to pray some little prayer or whatever, I'd say, Lord, bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And that might be okay, but for me, that's not okay. I need to be specific. So I pray specific prayers for you about your spirit, about your soul, and about even your physical body almost every day, right? So we need to be specific in our praying. I remember Kevin Hagin, somebody was at the altar, and I'm going to have to stop. Somebody was at the altar, and he went up there and asked him, said, what you praying for? And I said, I don't know that the Lord would bless me. Well, you're going to get what you asked for. Maybe you would want to be a little bit more specific, right? That's how come I have a hard time with people that come here or get on Facebook, and I understand some things you don't want to tell the whole of, or whatever. Say, I got an unspoken. Well, I just have to stay between you and God because I don't know what it is, and He ain't told me. So how am I supposed to? Do y'all get this, what I'm saying? Some of this stuff is so dumb. And what the Bible says, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, right? God teaches us because we want to know. Let's finish reading this, and I got to stop. with thanksgiving, let your prayer requests be made known unto God. Notice, and the peace of God, oh, thank you, Jesus, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He says, finally, okay, after you've done all that, do this. Whatsoever things are true, think on that. If it ain't true, put the bouncer at the door of your mind and don't think about it. I know it's hard sometimes. You may have to cast down thoughts 1,000 times a day. But let me tell you, this attack won't last. Just keep yours up. Keep your shield of faith up. He says, whatever things are true, think on them. Whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If it's not a good report, don't think on it. Don't talk about it. Why? The Bible says in Isaiah, whose report are you going to believe? The report and promises of the Lord, or the report of the doctors, or the report of the school, or the report of your boss? What? We're going to believe the report of the Lord, right? It's good reports. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. I'm telling you, people, there's a reason why you got a lot of people on drugs. A lot of reasons why you got a lot of people on different things like alcohol and different things like that. Why? This is hard times. I'm talking about even Christians. Hard times. But how many knows we don't have to resort to other things? Because God always, He can keep our hearts and He can keep our minds if we do what He says. I mean, I can't lay around and think about bad things about my grandkids all day long and not get fretful or careful or worried or things like that. Amen? I got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to comment or share or anything before we close? All right, we'll recess till 11.